Isn't that good? Yeah. You know, the opportunity to come and just to worship God, and it's a privilege to be back, to be with you folks, and to welcome you to a brand new year. And God is good all the time. And, you know, for those who may not know, I'm just a friend of Mike Gaines, and we've gone through life together, and it's a privilege to be back. I've been here a few times and working our way through a series, and I'm finding this, you know, some of those songs that we just sang and I've shared with others, I can't remember if I've shared with you, but you know what this whole book is all about, this Bible's all about, is God's asking a question, and that is, will you trust me? And that God is better than your wildest comprehension, and he's asking you to trust him. And it can save you a lot of reading time if you just get that. but also recommend you read it as well. But for those who may be new, I've been working through a series, and it's about two men in the Old Testament. And there's these two men that we're studying, but I also don't want you to lose fact there's a God behind these two men. When you understand and just see the hand of God, and you understand who he is, and he's indeed worth trusting, you're getting the message. But the reason why I chose these two men, and for those who have been apart, that, you know, it said that Abraham, was one of the men that we're talking about, died, and he said he died satisfied with life. And life was rich and full. And let me ask, does that describe you? When you look back in your life, it's been rich, it's been full. God's been center of it. And then there was Jacob, his grandson. And when he was before Pharaoh, he said, you know, when you look at his life, he said, few and unpleasant have been the years of my sojourning. Life went like that, and it's been miserable. God was a part of his life, too. And just because God is there doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be satisfied. Abraham learned how to trust and follow this God. Jacob had God, but he never really trusted him. He trusted himself. And he learned to manipulate and connive. And let me ask you, is that you? Do you realize, like Abraham, hey, God is willing to be trusted. I'm willing to follow him no matter what? Or you're more like Jacob. No, God, you're there, but you know, I like keeping my hands in my life. I want to work it out, manipulate it my way. Is that you? And it made the difference. Jacob never got it. He died, and he never, I think, never really understood this, the importance of just trusting God. And we're going to be looking at that. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to pray. So could you bow with me? Father, I pray in the midst as we study these two men, God, beyond understanding them, help us to understand you. God, you're God and you're good. And you want us to trust you. And you want us to follow you no matter what. Whatever struggles we may face in life. And God, you're worthy to be trusted. But also you demand it of us. And I pray that you'd help us to see it and to know it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with an illustration with you. And, you know, I've been skiing all my life. I started as a young kid. And, you know, I'm at the point in my skiing career, even though now I'm kind of older, that, you know, speed and steepness really doesn't bother me, you know. Faster, the better, it's fine with me. I don't mind steeper slopes and speed. And yet I find in the midst of my skiing career, there's one thing I never mastered, and that was the moguls, the bumps. And I don't know if you've ever seen these people go through the moguls and the bumps and all that, and you always go out and you go through the moguls, and I don't care how much I've worked on it, you know, they always beat me to death. Can I get through them? I can get through them, but I come out the other side just this ugly mess, praising God that it's over, right? And I know there's a trick to this, and I remember one time, and I finally learned the answer. And I was on a ski lift, and I was with this guy who obviously knew what he was doing, and I said, listen, do you know the secret to moguls? And he goes, oh, yeah. I go, can you let me in on it? And he did. And I go, oh. He goes, when you go into moguls, right? He goes, you got to be fearless. You find the fall line, which means you're going straight down. You're following, right? And he goes, you got to be focused. You got to be heart-centered. And straight down, you can't bail out. And what that means is, he says, everything has to turn from the hips down. And your head's got to be focused, your chest, heart, everything straight down. You keep straight here and let everything bounce from here and below, hips and below. And I go, that's it. I go, you got to be fearless, focused, heart-centered, just be at peace up here and let the bottom of your body do all the work. I go, that's it. That's the answer. In fact, I want to show, can we have that video? I want to show you this video, and I want you to see if this is not true. You watch these guys who know what they're doing. This is not how I look, but watch this. Everything above the waist is just at peace. Head focused. Find the fall line. Let the lower body do the work. And that's it. You get the point? All right, so we can cut that off. Now, I go, when I think of how you're supposed to look and how you're supposed to get through life, I start thinking, you know, this is so much like life. I don't know about you. In the midst of my life, speed, things happening fast, all that, I don't mind all that. But in my life, when I hit bumps, and it could be like this young lady was talking about up here, when you go through health struggles, when you go through relationship struggles, when you start feeling the battles of life, when things aren't working out the way you want them to, are you fearless, focused, and at peace, and let the bumps of life go by? Or do you bail out? And you know when you bail out, all of a sudden you're not fearless, you're not focused, and you start bailing, and what happens? Those bumps beat you to death. And when you go through life, are you able to be fearless and just trusting God and getting through life? Or do you get through them, much the way I got through moguls? You come out the other end just praising God, it's over. And you know how you and I bail? God's saying this. He goes, I want you to trust me. And you know what we don't trust him? You know what we do? We manipulate. And I don't know, all my life I learned how, I didn't want to trust God. I wanted to manipulate God. I didn't want to just trust and rest in him. Instead, I'm trying to work out life to come out the way I wanted it to. The relationships I wanted or the relationships I wanted to get out of or the struggles that I'm facing, I just want to get away from. And we end up, and how we bail is we manipulate. And you notice the idea I have in my sermon. During life, during difficult times, do you trust God? It's so important that you learn to trust God, not to manipulate. And let me ask you, what do you do? And how important it is. Are you able to just, hey, find the struggles that just bounce off you? Or you jump in and start to manipulate? Well, this man that we're looking at, Abraham. Abraham died satisfied with life, but there's two times in his life he didn't trust. He manipulated. And it's encouraging to me that even the most godly people, the trusting God people, they can manipulate too. And we're going to look at a couple incidents where Abraham, instead of trusting God, manipulated and how it worked out and why it's so important that you learn to not manipulate. When life isn't going as you want, you just, okay, God, be at peace. Fearless and focused, I'm on you. Why don't we? Notice point number one. Why don't we? Tarsus says this. Do we have the point number one on the outline? First point. Reason why that's not important, because God will let you. Do you know that God will let you manipulate him? You want to get your own way? God will go, there you go. And he'll let you. And it's found in Genesis chapter 12. We're looking at what happens, the backdrop of this passage. And if you remember, we had talked about Abraham being called out of Ur, and we had a whole thing set up here, kind of a big, huge map of the Holy Land and how he came out of Ur, and he came up, finally come to the land of Canaan and go into the land of promise, right? Now, I don't know about you, when Abraham heard that God says, I'm going to give you make you a great nation. You're going to have this Tigris, Euphrates River from that land on over. This is all going to be yours. Now, I don't know about you. When I think of coming into the land of Canaan, we had this area here depicting that. When I think of the land of Canaan, you're thinking, this is going to be great, right? Meadows, butterflies flying, all the answers of life. You know the first thing that happened? Abraham comes into this land. Notice what it says here. When he got there, now there was a famine in the land. Now I'm not sure if you're thinking, hey, when I come into the land of promise, my first thing was, hey, there's going to be famine. Did you know you can come into presence of God, and sometimes there's struggles. Did you know that? Famine hit. Now, this God who is supposed to provide for you and give you this great nation, and I imagine Abraham is brand new, right? In his faith, and this whole thing was kind of new to him, and all of a sudden there's a famine. So what does he do? So Abram, and this Abram is Abraham's name before it was changed by God, so don't be confused by that. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. So what ended up happening, he's in this land that he's, boy, promised, and now God can't provide, right? Can God provide for you? Even when there's famine? He didn't know that. No, we got to work this out. So you stay in the land? No. He goes on over to Egypt. And he leaves. And there's probably a question mark. Can this God really provide for me? Next question. Can this God protect me? Because he goes in there and knows what happens after that. In these next verses, it says this. It came about when he came near to Egypt, then he said to Sarai, now this is Sarah, before her name was changed, his wife, and says, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptian sees you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. So he's leaving, right? I'm not sure if God can provide for me. Now he's going into Egypt, going to this other land. Can God protect me? Hey, you're a beautiful woman. They may just take me out so they can have you. So what is he going to do? He says, I want you to, you know, to don't tell him that. Just say that you're my sister. And that way it'll go well with me. Now, how many think Abraham's manipulating? This is going to work out beautifully, right? Do you notice what God did? Nothing. He's going to let you. You can go manipulate and work it out yourself. And that's what ends up happening. Now, if we flash forward, there was two times that Abraham manipulated. Remember, he was going to have this, you know, this great land and be a great nation, all that type of thing, and now it's not working out so well, and he's going off to Egypt. But later on, you flash forward. If you remember another thing that was really hard for him, how can you be a great nation if you don't have a child? So flash forward to 16. This is another time. Another time that Abraham, bailed. He just started manipulating. Notice what happened. Now this is Sarai again. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So how do you have a great nation with no child? So what should you do? Trust God, be at peace, or you manipulate? Now what ends up happening? And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. And this was Sarai's handmaid. Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I'll obtain children through her. Now let me ask you, husband, would that sound pretty good to you? Tell you what, here's my handmaid. Why don't you just go on into her? And okay, wait a minute, let me get this right. You want me to go into the handmaid, have a child through her? How many? Oh, that sounds like a great idea, dear. So what ends up happening? So Abram listened to the voice of Sarai after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. Great idea, right? Hey, listen, I can't have a child. You can have my handmaid. Go into her. We'll have a child through her. Let me ask, how many think Abram's manipulating this thing? You trust God or you manipulate? When you start facing tough times, you're wondering if God can provide for you. The income tax is a little too much. You start, you know, doing different things to whatever. Relationships aren't working out. You know, I've been in this relationship too long. And whatever it is, all of a sudden you start bailing by manipulating life to work out the way you want it to work out. And I want you to know, you know what God did? Nothing. He will let you. You can manipulate. And that's one of the things that's so scary about this, is that I find that God will allow us just to do our own thing. And I've manipulated him, and I imagine you have as well. And God will allow us to manipulate. And you know, one of the reasons I'm convinced is because he wants you to feel the consequences of it. And he'll let you. That you will feel the consequences when, because God wants to know, will you trust me? And I remember early on, as I said, most of my life, I learned to manipulate things to make it work out the way I wanted them to. And you did it subtly. But I found this. You know what I do? When I do that, I manipulate my way right out of God's best. I do it, you do it. And it's an incredibly dangerous thing to do. But notice, no, there's no point number two. Why is it so important? God will let you. But notice, point number two, because you think you have helped the situation, but you have not. Notice next point. You know, the next point of the outline says that. It says, because you think you've helped with the situation, but you have not. Let's go to the next verse. So what ends up happening? Meanwhile, back in Egypt. So what ends up happening? And it came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. So it was just as Abram thought. They came into Egypt. Sarai, beautiful woman, and everybody's praising. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful woman. Everything's great, right? Abram's going, man, great idea. You know, I worked this thing out. And you think you fixed it. Many of you, maybe right there, hey, I've worked this thing out. I think I've got the bases covered. But have you? You think you've worked it out, but you've not. And also, go back. Now, what ends up happening? Meanwhile, let's go back to the other. In Genesis 16, he went in. So what ends up happening? Abram, all right, dear, you told me to do it. Has relations with Hagar, and she conceives, has a baby. Man, this is working out beautifully, right? Nothing can go wrong here. And you think you've worked it out, but you have not. And I don't know if you guys have ever had those plans and ideas, and you get your hands involved. And I remember, you know, back in 2000, early 2000s, 2004, 2005, I was studying a lot on real estate and dot, 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 dot. And I was, you know, there were some houses in Florida that I knew I needed to buy. And my wife goes, no, no, no. I'm going, yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Do you think I could get my way? You bet. And so I finally just harassed my wife enough. She gave in. And I got my way. I manipulated it. And I got my house in La Belle, Florida. And bought this house. And $200,000. And got the home. It's all good, right? Manipulated. Got my way. My wife, okay, Ed, I'll let you. And God's, hey, he's going to let Ed do what Ed's going to do. And you think, you know, working out well. And you think you've gotten your way, but have you really? And notice point number three that we also learn here. Why is it so important that we don't manipulate? Not only you think you've remedied, but it's not. Notice point number three, the next point. Because your plans never work out right. You ever saw that? Like, where were you when your plans blew up? You know what happened to my $200,000 home in La Belle, Florida? 2006 came. La Belle, Florida made Time Magazine. Second worst place in the planet to own real estate. Yeah, Ed had it going on, right? And so ends up having my $200,000 home now became worth $60,000. Great investment, Ed, attaboy. And you have to realize this. You know, when you manipulate and you get your plans, you know all you have? You know what you have? Your plans. How far can you see into the future? What do you know? Doggone, I thought it was such a great idea. And now my $200,000 is worth $60,000. And I remember I was talking with this young man, and he was involved with this in a relationship with a young lady. And he was all in, and they'd known each other a little bit. And there was some question marks about her and about this relationship and da-da-da-da-da. And at any rate, he's excited. He wants this relationship to go. Ever seen people like that? You know it's a good relationship. You know, Florida was a great place to buy or whatever. And I gave him an illustration. You see this pen here? I said, you know, see this pen? If you get really dead set and you get your opinion, you get a hold of your opinion so strong, and then you try to look at this pen, you get a really limited perspective. And the stronger you hold on to stuff, pretty soon this perspective gets really limited. I said, but if you can be circumspect and say, God, what are you doing here? And you open your hand up and let God take control of it, you can take a really good look at what's going on. But you do this, your perspective is really limited. Now let me ask you, how many think this young man will, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to just look at this relationship and maybe I should end it. You know, I've shared this illustration with a lot of people. Most don't follow that advice. This young man did. And it's unbelievable the things that he has learned. He since left that girl and another girl that came in. He's over in Europe right now studying for a master's and a few things happening. And it's amazing. And the insight that's coming into his life. But most of us, no, I got my plans. I got my ideas. I got a hold of them. And you know what you have? You have your plans and you have your ideas. That's it. And God will let you have them. And my question is, and there's still this question that God's going to be asking you for all eternity, will you trust me? What ends up happening as we look at that, why these plans never work out? What happens? Okay, meanwhile, back in Egypt, you know, this is going to work out well, right? Hey, she's my sister, da, 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 da. Notice what happens. It worked out beautifully, didn't it? Watch this. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to the Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. The Pharaoh wants your wife. Isn't that great? It's like Bill Clinton wants your wife. So what ends up happening? Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake, gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. So what ends up happening? You got this beautiful woman who's your sister. Pharaoh says, hey, I want her. Now, can you imagine, all right? Okay, here she is going, walking out of the house, right? Looking, getting eye contact with Abram. Great idea, big boy. And and she's going over to play, you know, to play house with Bill Clinton. So where were you when your plans blew up? You know, the ideas that you had, and suddenly things you thought worked out well, right? Meanwhile, let's go back. What happens in Genesis 16? This is the other time he manipulated. So he went into Hagar, right? And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. So Hagar has a baby. Now she gets cocky. And she starts, you know, giving attitude to Sarai, which just brought peace to the home, right? So what ends up happening as a result? And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. And I gave my maid into your arms. I am kind of adding that inflections because I'm thinking that's how it probably came down. But when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. Husband, what's the proper response here? Yes, dear. Watch this. And so he said to Sarai, behold, your maid is in your power. Do whatever you want. It's a great answer, man. All right. It says, do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. So what ends up happening? You know, World War III happens right here in the Abraham and Sarai household. To Hagar flees. And the woman given birth to your baby is now pregnant, roaming the desert. Where were you when your ideas blew up? And again, God will allow us to manipulate. And what will happen is that you have such a limited perspective. You got this perspective of life. There's no openness. And God of glory is in the background asking, Will you trust me? You'll have to answer that one way or the other. But your plans will blow up. You think you've remedied it, and it hasn't. And man, I, you know, there's all sorts of things. You know, I talked about my LaBelle, Florida thing, but there's all sorts of people who've manipulated, connived. I've had people come and want to get married. They've known each other 6 weeks, and they, you know, we know each other because, you know, we're older, and you just shake your head, and they worked their way around them, and they got married. And 11 months later, and like, this one woman come back in with her son is, because the whole thing blew up and her children are a mess because of it. He wants you to kind of put it all back together. And you go, I really can't. You're going to have to live out the consequences of what you've done, what you've said, the trust you did not have. Our plans never work out right. And God is always, again, asking, will you trust me? But notice this. This is point number four on this. Because God works anyway, why should you? Notice point number four. God works anyway, why should you? And that, is God's hand still slack? All of a sudden you manipulate it. Does that mean everything's going to fall apart? I want you to watch what God does behind the scenes. And it's, again, watching these men. But I want you to see the hand of God. And if you were God, what would you do? And I want you to see his kindness and understand his kindness. Is he ready to throw you under the bus because you've manipulated? They say it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. God's going to be kind to you. That's how good God is. Watch this. What ends up happening? Let's take a look. What happens in Egypt? So here he is, right? Okay, Sarai is living, you know, with Bill Clinton. And so what ends up happening? But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. Did God have to do that? How come he did it? You know why? He loved Abram, Sarai. There's promises he gave. All those things God said he'd do, he's going to do. He's going to have his hand in your life. So what does he do? He sends a plague. But not only that, then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So then I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. So what ends up happening? Okay, he calls him over. How do you feel if you're Abram? Oh, geez, I don't know. Shucks. You know, and he takes his wife and now leaves with his wife. Did the hand of God work? You bet he did. Now, why is it that you and I feel really motivated to ask for the power and hand of God after we've manipulated and just messed everything all up? Instead of, back at the beginning, trust him then. Did he even have to leave? He's in the promised land. Was God's hand slack then? You know, we can go through the bumps of life at peace, centered, focused, fearless. Meanwhile, what happens? Okay, this happens, but can he resolve the conflict between two women fighting over, oh, I just had a baby from your husband, da, 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 da? Let's see, what happens? What happens? Is God's hand slack? Notice what happens. Okay, so, you know, here we have Hagar. She's out fleeing in the desert, right? So what happens? Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. Again, think of this. What would God's angels are as his messengers. What would be the message of God to this woman? And I want you to see the kindness of this God that we serve. And notice what he says. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Hey, where'd you come from? What is she going to do? I'm just going to wander around here pregnant. It's a great game plan, isn't it? Notice what she says. I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Notice what the angel said. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and do what? and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, this is what the angel also said, the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. Wouldn't you like that? He'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called Berali. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Do you see what God did? You know who just gave birth here? You know what nation that is? It's the whole Arab world. And so it's been at peace ever since. That was sarcasm. Okay, so what's happening? But realize, you know what that was? You know what the whole Arab nation is? It is God blessing this woman. And these people are going to be, again, a great nation. And they have. And they have, this prophecy. Have you seen the truth of this? Hey, everyone's hand's going to be against him, and he's going to be against everyone else. It all began right here. But it was the hand of God just coming in and working miraculously. And he told this woman, I want you to go back. I want you to submit to Sarai. Why did God do that? It's the kindness and the love of God. And even in the midst of this Arab conflict, I don't know about you, but I always kind of go, But that too is under the hand of God that he's going to use for his purposes. There isn't anything by God's not wringing his hands. And I'm seeing as I get further and further in life that that I don't know if there's anything of any significance that I learn unless it's hard. It's the difficult stuff of life that just cements the truths of God to you and I. And it's through God's kindness. Don't miss that. That God's hand can work, and we don't have to, we ask him to bail us out after we've made a mess. You can't ask earlier. Don't manipulate. Because God's going to work anyway. Why wait until he already just botched it up anyway. But the last point, and we're going to be done. And then the last point is because even though God may bless, life is never quite right. You know, you go back, and what ends up happening? Sarai comes back home now, right? He comes in and they're having dinner back at the Abraham household. And she just got done having her whatever, thing that happened with the Pharaoh. And what ends up happening? Let's just take a look. Read the verse. It says, so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. And so ends up happening. They leave Pharaoh, and they all go back. And was there another verses after that? I think there's a few more. Oh, that's 16. So that's basically it. So what ends up happening? He comes out, and I want you to go into the, Sarai and Abram's household after your wife is sitting there across from you, and you just asked her to, hey, pretend you're my sister, and this whole fiasco. Wives, how would you feel? Oh, there's my godly husband. Praise God, he was such a leader. You probably, and the disappointment, the trust that's been shattered, all those things are a part of it. Did Abram learn from it? You bet he did. And as we go on in Abraham's life, it's amazing some of the things that this man learned. But this was really early on. He had just got the promise in Ur and all the things that brought him to the land of Canaan. And now, he goes, boy, that didn't work out very well. Did he learn? He did. Question, do you? In the midst of manipulating and working things out for your benefit, what you think is best. And even though there is still residue, what just happened there? Let's go back, Genesis 16. So what do we have here? Happened here. So Hagar, what does she do? Bore Abram a son. And Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael, just like the prophecy. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Did it work out? It did. They gave birth. Everything's okay, right? Except for the fact now we got an Arab nation. And there's conflicts to come in the midst of. And you'll see more how that plays out. And so I find this, you know, as we end here. You know, it works out, but there's residue. And you have God in the background, that question is still looming. God's asking, will you trust me? And Abram, I can't help but think he learned, because we'll watch some things that happens in his life. He's wrestling with this. Jacob never got it. He went his entire life manipulating, conniving, working the angles. Is that you? And will you get it? Abraham learned. He goes, God, okay, I get it. You are God, I am not. I submit myself to you. And how important it is in the midst of life and career choices and relationship struggles and whatever it is, I am pleading with you. Would you trust him? God, this is yours. My perspective is very open. My hands are open. My life is yours. Do as you will, for your will is best. And I want you to know this. You know, have I learned how to ski moguls? I did. Showed you the pictures, and I get the idea, but I want you to know this. I learned moguls on a chairlift. You can't learn how to ski moguls on a chairlift. You got to learn how to ski moguls in moguls. And you got to be in the thick of it, and you got to get beaten about by them. And the same thing, have you learned about manipulation and conniving? And yeah, man, we see, and oh boy. But you know where you really learn it? It's not even sitting here. It's going to be in your life when the bumps of life come, when what you hear about relationship struggles and the battles and decisions that have to be made and the struggles with your spouse, struggles with your children, all those things. Christianity is not learned here. Christianity is learned out there. It is learned in the midst of life. It's learned in the midst of the battles. And I hope in the back of your mind you're thinking, God is asking, will you trust me? I am better than you know. And you can't even comprehend some of the goodness that I'm going to show you. But I'm worthy to be trusted. Would you? Let's pray. God, you're good. You're better than we can even dream. In the midst of life, in the midst of the battles, and even so many of those battles that you design for our good, for our best, sometimes are beyond our comprehension. I pray in the midst of whatever we learn from these two men, that we would know you're good. You're worthy to be trusted. Every promise you've made, you keep. God, help us to trust, rely upon you, and be at peace and at rest and fearless and focused in the midst of the battles of life. In Jesus' name, amen.